Tracy Porter marks her life by dates. One date is 9/11, after which her husband and she decided to leave Washington, D.C.
My husband and I and younger sons moved here from the Washington, D.C. area, wanted to leave Washington and go somewhere different. So we drove down here and bought a house and moved. Both kids were starting middle school and high school at the time, and we had a nice quiet life. We enjoyed each other's company. We did a lot of camping. We were both working. My husband was an electrician, and I was working for a construction company.
But the most significant date was exactly 11 years ago.
April 3rd, 2004, 5:10 p.m. And I say it that way because it's now a date that is forever embedded. First day of spring break, we were home watching television. My son had gone to the beach with another teenager and was expected home any minute, and we got the phone call. Some kid on the other end of the line said, "Did you know that Justin was in an accident today and they took him to Shands?"
Tracy called 911 and was routed to the hospital.
The trauma surgeon at Shands said, "Your son is in critical condition. You need to get here right away." He was a backseat passenger. He was belted. Two other teens in the car. The driver lost control at 90 miles an hour, and they slammed into a guardrail back and forth twice.
Justin's injury was severe, 4 on a scale of 1 to 5. He has recovered 99%, Tracy says. But she recalls how she felt when she arrived at the hospital.
I was helpless. I couldn't understand the verbiage that was being said to me, hemorrhaging of the subdermal fissure, words that just didn't make sense to me. And I didn't know what questions to ask because I didn't understand what was happening. The fear came when they said, "Severe brain trauma, we don't know how he's going to do." And to me, that meant he could live or die.
Tracy Porter overcame the helplessness by learning all she could about what had happened to her son and what would happen going forward.
I'd met so many other families that had that same initial reaction as I did. There was nobody at the hospital that came to me that said, "I know what you've been through. I can help you through this. These are the next processes you could go through." There was nothing.
Mothers for TBI Hope started with a bag that Tracy assembled for others who would be in that situation.
We put together a bag of everything that we didn't have. A notebook, a journal, a pen, resource information.
In the years since, Mothers for TBI Hope has handed out more than 11,000 bags and has grown statewide. It's changed Tracy as much as her son's accident did.
Giving hope to other people helped me have hope for my future and myself. I had no idea giving could feel so good.
And the letters she's received have themselves become a resource to share via the baskets with other families. One reads,
"I had no idea that someone else had been through this, and you gave me a blanket when I was cold and a toothbrush when I hadn't brushed my teeth in a week, and letters from other people who had been through this, and I had hope that my son was going to survive."
This is Closing the Loop. For WJCT News, I'm Warren Miller.
Closing the Loop is sponsored in part by First Coast Home Pros, local specialists in carpet, grout, and upholstery cleaning.